Where is that guy? Hey, Joe!
Does anybody know where Joe is?
A miss.
He wants in the composing room.
Miss, when Joe comes in, will you see that he gets this note? It's urgent.
Hello? No, Joe's not in the music room. You say it's important. Well, I think he's in Danny Morrison's office. Just a minute, and I'll be next.
I'm Danny Morrison. Yes, that fellow Joe everyone's shouting for was in my office, all right. Well, maybe you're wondering what kind of a Joe he is, since he's so much in demand. The fact is, he's just a kid in his late teens. He's red-headed and still hasn't got rid of the freckles that plagued him all through school. Joe's always on call. There's something about the kid. His blue eyes twinkle, he moves fast, he's smart. The best copy boy we've had around the Mid-City Sentinel in donkey's ages. Well, now that I'm a feature writer, he's decided he's going to carve his niche in the editorial pages someday. And that's why he was in my office. You see, it happened that Joe and I had made a serious bet a few days before. I just come out of the boss's office.
Hi, Danny. I read your last article. You know, the one on labor management relations? It was great.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Someday you'll write better stuff.
Oh, boy, if I could do half as well, I'd be happy. Danny, I want to work for you. For nothing, in my spare time. You know, help you on your assignments. Just so I can learn your style and that sort of thing.
Go on. I haven't any style. I just put one sentence after another. And besides, I'm not covering murder these days. You'd be bored.
Oh, I wouldn't, Danny. Honest, I wouldn't. You know, just because I'm a copy boy now doesn't mean I'm always going to be one. And I read a lot, too. I bet I could help.
Look, my assignment this week isn't exactly exciting. It's pretty solid stuff. You'd be sick of it in 2 days.
What's the assignment?
National unity. Doesn't it thrill you?
Danny, I'll make a bet with you. If you'll let me, I'll follow you around every minute I'm off duty. If I quit, or if you darn well don't admit I've been at least some help, I'll buy you all the cigarettes you can smoke in a week.
Well, what are you going to do with a kid like that? I took the bet and secretly promised myself that if the kid stuck to it, just take him to the down payment on a course in journalism. I told Nellie about it, and she said...
You'll lose that bet, Danny. I just know it. Young Joe's a smart kid, and it'll be fun to take him around with us. And I feel sure he'll be useful, too.
Well, Joe trailed us all that week. He was a different kid. He still had the grin in his eyes and the big smile, but there was no more kidding. It was serious business to Joe. I never had to ask him to do anything. He anticipated every job, and he went at it with a will. Well, finally, I had the assignment pretty well doped out of my mind. And when I came down to work on it Friday morning, Joe opened the door to my office.
Hiya, Danny. I've been waiting for you.
Well, I won't need you today, kid. Why don't you sneak off and see a show? You've earned it. I'm going to put the story together anyway.
I know. That's why I'm here. It's going to be a whiz, too.
How do you know? I'm not so confident myself.
Well, I've been reading your notes.
If you can make anything from that doodling of mine, kid, you should join the RCMP.
But I can. It's just as though you'd written it all.
Well, I looked at my notes. Along with the doodling, I'd written the very sketchiest of headings. Just random ideas. Things that meant Canada and Canadian unity to me. But what they'd mean to a kid like Joe, I couldn't guess. But I was curious to find out. So I handed Joe the list and I told him to tell me what he made of it.
Well, the first thing you've written is hockey broadcast. That's to set the scene. Fellas listening in at Regina and fellas listening at St. John at the same time and hopping up and down when Foster Hewitt shouts, "He shoots! He scores!" That kind of makes us all one nation.
Go on.
The next note says planes roaring. I guess you'll write about guys like Wap May and other bush pilots. I wrote for a picture of Wap May when I was a kid in grade 6. I still have it, too, Danny. I guess he and flyers like him were heroes to kids all over Canada, and they wanted to fly, too. And lots of them flew bombers and fighter planes, too, to keep us free so there'd be a Canada to be unified.
Uh-huh. They did it that, Joe. They sure did.
I'm not so sure about the next two, fishing boat and power drill. I guess you'll write about how we've got lots of natural resources and we need to develop them, and that's sort of a problem for all of us to solve, like we all fought together to win the war. Or you might be meaning that the same kind of guys are behind those drills as there are working the fishing boats, and they shouldn't be against each other, but for each other. They're all Canadians, after all.
Oh, keep talking, kid.
This one, the Massey Commission. I looked it up. They're studying arts, letters, and science. And you'll probably say that that's a sign that we're developing things of our own, like Canadian books and Canadian music and so on. And this note about two women at a country fair, I take that to mean that you're...
Well, young Joe went right through those notes of mine. And for my money, his observations were pretty sound. In his own way, with his own simple words, he made three Canadian scenes come to life for me. I saw folks in their Canadian homes listening to the hockey broadcast on a Saturday night. And it occurred to me that Joe was so right about it, linking us together. And I could visualize kids on corner lot rinks and on the ponds right across the country, competing, all in the rough and tumble of the game, taking their wins and losses well. Well, perhaps hockey helps to give Canadians that set of the shoulders, that swing in their walk that makes them recognizable wherever they go. And I could see the plains in the sky over the North Country, manned by young fellows who had faith in the North and its future. And when war came, fellows like them got together and fought together with faith, faith in their country and what it stood for. And they're the kind of men who still have faith in their country and the Canadian way of life. Now, demagogues and crackpots may try to sell them off it, but there's nothing fuzzy-minded about Canadians. Well, they've learned how team play counts in games and in war, and they'll not be easily fooled into attempts to set class against class, labor against management, and east against west. And I liked what Joe said about the men behind the power drills and the men who man the fishing boats. I could see the men in my mind's eye, tough-muscled and tough-minded. They know by experience, they know in their bones that it takes brains and muscle to create wealth, to build, to mine, and to fish. Now, governments can create the atmosphere for such enterprises, but governments cannot create wealth by passing laws or issuing orders in council. There's a pool of common sense and hard-won knowledge possessed by these men from coast to coast that makes a team, which will not easily be led down the garden path by false dreams of easily won security. Yes, Joe had hit the nail on the head as far as I was concerned when he talked the factory whistle in big Canadian cities and pictured the men and women with lunch pails. I remember the production records in war. The whole world talked of them. And I thought, oh, how rich this land would be if we could, as we will, I firmly believe, hold those records and extend them. And I remember, too, that these men and women with lunch pails have customers, important customers on the farms. The Canadian farmer looks to the factory worker to produce machines he can afford to buy, just as factory worker looks to the farmer for eggs, meat, beef, and bacon that his wages will pay for. And as long as both parties remember their joint dependency, Canadian unity is in no danger on that score. Well, not that Canadians are all alike. They're individuals. For in Canadian democracy, unity doesn't mean uniformity. In the broad framework of Canadian freedom, a great variety of cultures, languages, and traditions make this contribution to our heritage. In the United Nations and other world councils, our delegates are listened to with respect, for Canada's voice carries weight. When Joe came to the point in my notes about the Canadian Chamber of Commerce, I expected he'd bog down. Not Joe. He'd been doing some research on his own, and he pulled a sheet of paper from his pocket.
Here's what I've written about the Chamber of Commerce and National Unity, Danny. I swapped up on it last night. Mr. Smith, the secretary of the Mid-City Chamber of Commerce, is a friend of Dad's, so he gave me the material I needed to write it.
Well, go ahead. Let's hear it, Joe.
The Mid-City Chamber of Commerce had its beginning much like the old guilds in English towns began. A group of local businessmen getting together to discuss community problems and to do all they can to make Mid-City a prosperous town where business is good and where people would like to live and work. It is a purely voluntary and democratic organization. In towns and cities from Halifax to Vancouver, businessmen did the same thing. In fact, the first group of the kind was formed at Halifax in the year 1750, and it was called the Association for the Benefit of Trade. Over the years, Canadian towns and cities grew more and more aware of the fact that their destinies were tied up with the whole of Canada. In 1925, representatives of more than 60 chambers, or boards of trade as they're sometimes called, sent representatives to Winnipeg, and there they organized the Dominion Board of Trade. It's now known as the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. The Canadian Chamber of Commerce is truly a unifying force in Canada. And more than 500 towns and cities now belong to this voluntary federation of businessmen.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Joe. We all know that the Mid-City Chamber of Commerce does lots of good work here in town. They ran that get-out-and-vote campaign, the tourist promotion, and lots of other things. But not many people realize that they're part of a nationwide movement.
I've lots more material here, Danny, if you can use it. They've a National Affairs Committee in nearly every town, too. That helps bring a better understanding of national problems to businessmen everywhere.
Thanks, Joe. I'll be able to use that material.
You mean... Well, have I been some use?
Hey, you two. What are you up to in here? Everybody's looking for Joe.
Colonel Nellie, I'm glad you came in. Have you got that envelope with you? The one with Joe's name on it?
I sure have. I've been looking all over for him so I could let him have it. Here you are, Joe.
Open it, Joe.
Hey, are you fellas pulling a gag on me?
Go on, read it.
Holy Dinah. Oh, gee, Danny. Gee, you're 100%.
I'll count Nellie in, too. She insisted on kicking in on some of the dough, you know.
Oh, thanks, Miss McCoy. This is great. Gee, I've been wanting to take a course in journalism ever since I can remember, and...
Well, there you are. But you can't sit here gabbing all day. The chief wants you.
You mean the boss, the managing editor, he wants me?
Yep.
Gosh, I wonder what he could want me for.
Get going, Joe. The chief wants you to meet the new copy boy. Starting today, you're the Mid-City Sentinel's new cub reporter.
Oh, mama. Holy smoke. Gee, let me out of here quick.
Well, Nellie, as Fibber McGee would say, there goes a good kid.
Yes. And as Nellie McCoy would say, there goes a kid that knew how to pick out the right man for his worshiping. By which I mean none other than the Mid-City Sentinel ace reporter, Danny Marsden.
Hey, you quit kidding.
I'm not kidding, Danny. If there were more guys like you, ready and willing to give a helping hand wherever and whenever it's deserved, more guys who give the other fellow a break, whether he's rich or poor, national unity wouldn't need essays written about it. And that's gospel, Danny. You can take it from Nellie McCoy.